a couple of months to get through, chapter number one, and we're in chapter number two. Let's read verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. The Bible said, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And so we're going to look at these verses tonight. Some of them we're going to couple together. We'll not go verse by verse, but we do want to take and look at this passage of Scripture. But last week we looked at chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Talking about the leper that was healed and had a good time looking at the leper and what God did on behalf of the leper whom he healed. Now, I read somewhere that of all the miracles that Christ performed, the healing of the leper would have been the greatest. I think that's debatable, though. I mean, you think about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did a lot of great things. He healed the leper. He had power over nature. He could calm the storm. I don't know anybody that can do anything like that. He fed the multitudes. He opened blinded eyes. Deaf people received their hearing again. He even raised the dead. So I don't know. We could probably talk a long time about which of all was the greatest of the miracles. But I got to thinking about this. You know, if he came and did one thing like the healing of the leper, that nobody else could do it. But he didn't. He was not a one and done Lord. He didn't just come and do one thing. He came and did many miracles. He did things that we do not read about in the Scripture. We looked in chapter number 1. He healed the sick. I mean, what all is encompassed in that? He did many, many miracles in his ministry. And so it's not just one thing, but the many things that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do. And then we come to chapter number 2, and the Bible says, and again. Now, and again, that ties us back into what had happened in chapter number 1. But we left off with the healing of the leper, and then chapter 2 starts out, and again. I've heard people say something like this, well, if the Lord never does anything else for me in this life, he did this, whatever it was, and that's enough. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? He did this. I'll never ask him for anything else again. Well, people's lying when they say that. But I've heard people say things like that. I'm so thankful that the Lord did this. If he never done anything else, he's blessed me and blessed me. And you've heard people say things like that. But you know what? There's always and again. The Lord has done something great for you. And you say, man, I don't think he could ever top that. But you know what? He comes along and again, he's able to do again. He's able to save you out of your situation again. He's able to get you through a hard time again. He's able to meet your need again. He's able to take care of a problem in your life again. And it's just a blessing tonight. If we didn't go any further in the passage of Scripture, we could get a blessing out of that and again. Because there's been a lot of and agains in my life. If I tried to go back, and Kim said a while back, I'd told her about an answer to prayer, something I'd prayed about, and the Lord had answered. She said, man, you should have written all this down over the years. I don't think I could. The Lord has just answered, and he's blessed, and he's come through time and time and time again. And I'm thankful we don't serve a Lord that is limited to maybe just do one thing in our lives. He can do many things in our lives. Amen. And again. And again. And you find that all through the Scripture. And you say, boy, there's nothing greater than that. Well, read the next chapter. And again. And again, it's the same way in our lives. So we'll look at some things. Number one, there's the Capernaum station. I'm just going to quickly go down through some of these things. But we see in verse number one, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. So all that's happening there in verse number one, Capernaum is his home base. And the Bible says that he entered again into Capernaum after some days. You remember in chapter 1, verse 45, the Bible said, but he went out and began to publish it much. This is that leper. And to blaze abroad the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. And the Lord Jesus told that leper, he said, don't tell anybody. But he found it hard not to tell anybody. And he went out, and the Bible said that he blazed abroad the matter. And he told so many people that Jesus couldn't even come into the city. But he had to spend some days out in the desert. Well, after some days, he came back home. Things had calmed down just a little bit enough to where the Lord Jesus could come back to Capernaum. And so after some days, he comes back home. But look what the Bible says. It was noised that he was in the house. And so as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back home and he's in Capernaum again, and word begins to get out, people said, did you hear that Jesus is back home? He's back at Simon's house. And it doesn't take any time at all. And I like the way that's phrased. It was noised that he was in the house. The Lord Jesus Christ has come back to Capernaum. So it didn't take long for word to get out that he was in the house. Now, I look back at chapter 1, verse 29. This is the house of Simon Peter. That's the house that was being talked about the last time we've seen a house. Chapter 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. That's the last time a house had been talked about. And so the next time we see a house talked about, the house, he entered into the house, that's that house, the house of Simon Peter. And so that's the house that he had healed Simon's mother-in-law in. So that's what it's talking about. He's back in Simon's house. He's back at home base, the Capernaum station. And verse number two, the Bible said, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now, there's some observations in verse number two that we could make along the lines of maybe a parallel with what it modern day Christianity. There's some things in verse number two. Number one, I noticed that there's a huge crowd. Well, not every church has a huge crowd, but there's a lot has a big crowd. There's a large crowd gathered together. Many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. So the house was full of people. There's a lot of people gathered around. And verse number 2 said, he preached the word unto them. So here's a big crowd. And there's good preaching going on. I got to thinking about this today. I think that we probably hear some of the best preaching that many generations of Christians have heard. If you go back and read messages in history, if we could go back 100 years or 150 years, a lot of the preaching that you would hear, you would think, that's pretty simple. That's pretty plain. We're used to hearing a lot of preaching on a broad range of subjects. Preacher Carl said, he said this before. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he said when he started out, preachers would get up and preach just a little simple gospel message. He said, and the house would be full and people would come. And he said, now we have some of the best preaching you ever heard and nothing happened. That's how it was here. You want to hear some good preaching? I'd like to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach the word. But here he is preaching and the house is full and nothing's going on. Well, we're sort of used to that. And only a few were doing the work. Only a few were doing the work. All these people gathered around. You couldn't even get in. And there's just four really doing what needs to be done. This man that is brought to the Lord Jesus, it said, born of four. And I've heard for several years now that the average, in the average church, now we're talking about in the average church, 5% of the people are doing 100% of the work. Just a very few. And that's average. Overall, we'd always like to say, well, we're above average. I think we're better than that. But I'd say across the board, that's probably about right. Just a very few bearing the load of the work that needs to be done. So he's home, he's in the Capernaum station. Number 2, in verse number 3, there's the crippled sinner. And we see this in verse number 3. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. Here's a crippled sinner. This man's got two major problems. Number one, he is sick physically. That's what the Bible says. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. He's got a physical problem, but he's also got a spiritual problem. Verse number 5, the Lord Jesus said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So he's got a physical problem. He's crippled. And he's got a spiritual problem. He's a sinner when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like we saw last week with the leper, his physical condition is a picture of our spiritual condition. All men without Christ, the Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, what did you do to get to God? You didn't do anything. We're crippled. We're sinners. Yet when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says we were without strength. That's how this palsy man is. He is without strength. He cannot lift himself. He cannot raise himself. He cannot take one step to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is physically incapable of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does the Bible say about a sinner? The Bible says that you're lost, you're blind, we're unrighteous, we're unclean, we're condemned before God, we're a child of the devil, we're without hope in the world. That's a pretty bad condition to be in. This man did not come in and of his own power. He was brought by the power of another. And so this man is a picture of a sinner without Christ. That's what he's a picture of. Number 3, there's the concerned saints. There's the concerned saints in verse number 3. They just six things I'm going to show you. And I know we got started a little late, but you hang with me. Let's ask that the Lord would speak to our hearts. And I'm feeling like I'm trying to hurry. Not because that's just the devil puts that on your mind. Now everybody's going to fall asleep. You'd better hurry. But I want the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. And God to have His way in our hearts. Now, look at this. There's the concerned saints. Verse number 3, the Bible said, which was born of four. Four men brought this palsy man to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, when I was pastoring over at Forest Grove, Brother Claude Sudworth came, preached revival for us. And he preached out of Mark chapter number 2, and he talked about these four brothers. And I know Brother Claude has preached here, and a lot of you have heard him over the years. But boy, he could paint a picture. And he gave names to these four brothers. He said, and I never forgot that he called these four brothers, he said, brother number one, brother love. Brother Love got together with Brother Faith and got to talking about this palsy man. He preached a whole message along these lines. Brother Love, Brother Faith got together with Brother Works, got together with Brother Willing, and they brought this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never forgot him preaching that message. But you know what? If we're going to get sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have brother love. We're going to have brother works. Somebody that'll say, I'll get in there and I'll help you. We're going to have brother faith. Somebody said, that looks awful. That looks all like an awful big mountain. You can always find somebody to say, I don't think it can be done. But praise God for somebody that says, I think the Lord can do that. I think that's possible. I think if we could get that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe He could do something for him. You got to have brother willing. Somebody that's willing to just come along. I thank God for people that are like that. That have just come along and say, you know, this needs to be done. Well, I'll help. I don't know much about it, but I can carry one corner, and that's all they did. They put this man, he's on a, they call it a pallet, a little rolled up bed, maybe like a stretcher. You'd see him using in the army to carry people off the battlefield. That's all that it was. Four men, one on each corner to get the job done and to carry and bring this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some lessons in that. It took four to get one. Sinners are hard to get. And it took four of them to get one. That's probably about right. Took four of them to get one. It took some cooperation together. It took some planning. It took some time. It took some effort. It took some sacrifice. One of those men, what if he had to take some time off work? But it was worth it. Maybe somebody had an appointment that they had to cancel. I don't know. But it took some effort. It took some courage. It took some unorthodox methods to get this palsied man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they got there. Picture this in your mind. They can't get in the door. There's so many people. They're hanging on the door, all around the door frame. You can't even tiptoe through everybody. That's what the Bible said. There was no room. How are they going to get this palsy man to the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse number 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. That's not your normal way to get things done, is it? Now, you know I'm not talking about Hollywood evangelism. I'm not talking about worldly methods or anything like that. But we need to sometimes think outside the box. What can we do to get sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so they came up to the house and they couldn't get in. And one out of 100 would have an idea and said, let's just tear the roof off. That nobody else, one person thought of that. But you know what? It worked. It worked. Hey, if you've got an idea to get sinners to Christ, let it be known. It might be the one thing that nobody else has ever thought of, that we need to make a real impact in our community or at the college or in the schools for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody's got an idea of how to tear the roof off and get somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that took a lot of effort, coordination, all those things to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about Monday night visitation. I want to say just a little bit about that. Visitation is, Monday night visitation is not the most effective way to reach our community for Christ. Now, I say that very carefully. Some people's mouths might drop open. That is a way to reach the community. Do you know what we really need, and what I have always imagined and envisioned in my mind, the most effective way to reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ is for every person to get a burden to reach the lost. And for us as a church have a heart to go out two by two, four by four. If ladies would get a heart to minister to ladies, and men to have a heart to reach men where they work at, in the places that you shop, and students to reach students, and those in high school and elementary school. You see, that is so limited. Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30, one time a week. I've been in a lot of churches. It's always the same everywhere you go. Just a few really does that. But boy, if we could, there's another way. There's another way. See, if all of us, if we just would reach, if we would go after, you might get somebody else in church. You go after somebody. Go after your neighbor. Go after the person that you buy your groceries off of, or the teller that you always... I know how people are. They get in a habit. You see people, oh, if we could go after those that are nearest unto us, that's the most effective way. Acts 8:4 said, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That's the most effective way. Students to reach students. Brother Finley said the other night he felt comfortable talking to men in the community. You don't mind me telling that, do you? I already told it. I know. But you know, there's somebody that you say, well, I don't feel comfortable doing this. But there's somebody you feel comfortable talking to, because you sure spend a lot of time talking to them. Why not tell them about the Lord? Why not get them in to where they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ? You see what I'm saying? People that you do business with, trade with, whatever it is you do, reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ, get some help, and go after them and bring them in. That's the most effective way. That's the Bible way. Visitation is one way. It is a wonderful way to train people. To train people how to do this very thing. So there's a concerned saints. We've got to have that. Verse number five, there's a compassionate Savior. It said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice it says their faith. Now, you're not saved on the faith of somebody else. You're saved by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This palsied man had personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, he could not be saved. Romans 10 and 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." But there's a lot of people testify and say, "Thank God my mama really prayed for me. Boy, my grandpa prayed for me when I was out there lost. My mama, my daddy, my church, they prayed for me." And the Lord saw all of their faith. They all had faith. That's what the Bible says. He saw their faith. If people could get saved on our faith, nobody would die and go to hell. We'd just say, "Well, I just, there's a lot of people I've tried to get in, tried to witness to, but they've got to have faith. They've got to have faith." So they all worked together. I don't know how it worked out. Maybe that man, by the time they got him loaded up, he is ready to get to church. He might have had faith all along. The Lord saw their faith. He saved, or he healed the man with the palsy. He saves him. Verse number 5, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But I want to look at verses 6 through 11. There's the confounded skeptics. Verse 6 and 7, the Bible said, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." That'll always get you in trouble. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If they had a look to the Word of God, they would have seen that this was surely the Messiah. That's not what they did. They reasoned in their hearts. They said in verse number 7, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" They were partly right. They were right that only God can forgive sins. But the Lord Jesus was not being blasphemous in what he said. Verse number 8 says, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Now, look at verse number 9. Think about this. "Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?" What's easier? The Lord Jesus is asking the question here. He said, what's easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk? Is it easier to solve a spiritual problem or a physical problem? Now that's the Lord asking them, which is easier? Which is easier? Now, in my mind, as I study the scriptures, as I read the Bible, and the Bible says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. It's hard for me to think about anything being hard or easy for God. God can do anything. God can do all things. But it's the Lord Jesus that asked the question. He said, which is easier? Which one of these things is easier? To say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? We may not think much about it, but the fact of forgiveness of sins from God is not a flippant thing. What I mean by that, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He suffered for our sins. He didn't die on the cross to save us from measles, or polio, or cancer, or palsy, or leprosy. He could have healed. He can do anything like that he'd have wanted to. But to forgive us of our sins, Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus had to shed his blood. The righteous for the unrighteous. Forgiveness is not just forgive me. Sure. No problem. Well, Jesus died so that we could have forgiveness of sins. So the Lord asked the question, which is easier? Say, take up thy bed and walk, or to forgive this man of his sins? Have you ever heard these stories about maybe somebody is murdered and they go to death row for murder? And sometimes a family member will go to that person that maybe murdered their daughter, maybe murdered their wife, and they say, I want to talk to them. I want to forgive them. Well, that'd take a lot, wouldn't it? I read in the newspaper today about a man, he had been hired to mow the yard down in Winston-Salem, and he had went in on a little 12-year-old girl. Horrible. Would it be easy to say, oh yeah, I forgive you for that? But that'd be hard. And that'd be hard. Oh, I could do something about it in the flesh. But to forgive them? So Jesus asked the question. He said, what's easier? Say, take up your bed and walk, or to forgive them of your sins? The easiest thing would be to physically heal him. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against the Lord. As far as that's concerned, we're all in the same boat. Jesus died for all of our sins. So forgiveness of sins, it's not just nothing. It's really something. That Jesus died for our sins upon the cross. And so he asks the question there, which is easier? Verse number 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I believe he's letting us know there which one is the hardest. So you'll know that I have power to forgive sins. And then in parentheses, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Wouldn't you love to have been there and seen that? Even if somebody gets maybe they're missing a leg. And they get a paraplegic leg. Is that what it's called? They get technology's got all these things. They still have to learn to walk again. This man didn't have to learn to do nothing. He jumped up off his bed, rolled it up, and he went out of the house. Now that's the Lord. I think he tiptoed across everybody that was in there, just like he'd been, wasn't nothing to him. That's what the Lord told him to do. And that's exactly what he did. And he said in verse number 12, the last thing, the completeness of salvation. And immediately he arose. You know, we've seen that in that leper. Didn't say after a few days he got to feeling better, he got steady on his feet. He wobbled out, he used a walker, he used crutches. No, sir. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Boy, I like that. That's a beautiful picture. That's one of them things that I say, I hope there's instant replay in heaven. I want to see that. I want to see how that was. Well, we ended up last week, we said just a few things about revival, and I want to say just a few things about revival again tonight. There's just some things I want to point out in these verses. If we're going to have revival in this day and time, number one, I notice out of this passage of Scripture, he was in the house. That's what it said in verse number one. Getting in there into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. If we ever expect to have revival in this day and time, he's going to have to be in the house. The Lord Jesus, when we come to worship, he's got to be in the house. His presence has got to be here. Number two, in verse number two, he preached the word unto them. I noticed that he was doing that before anything. His primary mission was preaching, not healing. Healing was just a byproduct. But first, we read in the Word of God, he preached. We've got to have the preaching of the Word. We don't have enough preaching of the Word. Then in verse number 3, they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. We got to have a real burden. That's what born means. They carried. If we want to have revival, we're going to have to get a burden for it. He was in the house. You had the preaching of the word. You had those that had a burden. Number 4, in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." We got a sinner saved by grace. That always excites things. That always ought to cause God's people to rejoice. And so we got a sinner saved. And then in verse number 12, there's several things, but the main thing is they were amazed. And I like this. They said, "We never saw it on this fashion." If we had real revival in 2014, that's what we would say. "We never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it like this." I've seen a lot of good services. I've seen good revivals. I've seen the Lord move and save and things like this. But when real revival came in the Great Awakening in our country, that's what they testified. "We never saw it like this before. We never saw it on this fashion." And you study all through history, you'll see the same thing. When real revival comes, that's the testimony of God's people. We're not talking about weird things. We're not talking about Hollywood things. We're talking about God doing things we've never seen Him. We just heard about. We never saw it on this fashion. So several things in chapter number 2. All right.